From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. A massive women-led resistance to centuries of patriarchy and misogyny under the guise of religious tradition is playing out in the southern Indian state of Kerala. Women have been defying massive pressure to respect a rule observed for thousands of years, barring women of menstruation age from entering an important temple in Kerala. The Sabarimala temple, dedicated to Lord Ayyappa, prohibits women aged 10 through 50 from ever stepping foot inside. But the Indian Supreme Court recently struck down the ban after a lawsuit challenged the rule. While the backlash to the court's decision from Hindu fundamentalist groups has been huge, women's rights activists have also pushed back and held firm to their rights. The violent clashes have resulted in more than 100 injuries and thousands of arrests. My guest is Deepa Iyer. She is a South Asian American activist who works on rights, on issues of race and immigration and more. She's the author of We Too Sing America and the host of a monthly podcast called Solidarity Is This. She recently wrote the piece entitled The Women's Resistance We Aren't Hearing About Is Happening Now in Kerala. Welcome to the program, Deepa.
Thank you so much for having me, Sonali.
So I should say you are from Kerala and you know the temple that is at the heart of this particular story. Tell us a little bit about this temple and give the audience a little context for it, for those who have heard nothing about this.
Sure. So this is a temple that was constructed in some time in the 12th century. It receives about 5 million visitors a year. And so it's definitely a temple that has a significant importance to Hindus, especially, who come from all over the country, all over the world, to take part in a pilgrimage where they climb a number of steps to get to the actual temple itself. And as you mentioned, the Sabarimala temple is a temple that is in homage to Lord Ayyappa. And as I did grow up in Kerala, I was born and raised there. So I grew up on stories of Lord Ayyappa, and I grew up knowing about this temple. But I also knew that it was a temple that I could never go to, or any woman in my family could go to, because as you mentioned, there has been a rule for many decades, hundreds of years, that basically says that women of menstruating age between the ages of 10 and 50 are barred from entry into that religious space.
And the reason for that is basically the legend of Lord Ayyappa, which is an interesting logic that is so reminiscent of how we still think about men and women and sexuality, that in order for Lord Ayyappa to preserve his vow of celibacy, and I understand that men who make this pilgrimage are on, you know, are sort of preserving this as well, that they can't have women of menstruating age because it would tempt them.
Right. And, you know, I think it's important to note that many of these traditions and beliefs in Hinduism are ones that are laden with misogyny and that are focused on patriarchy. So this idea that women are impure or unclean during the times that they obtain their periods, rather than seeing that as a very natural manifestation of being a woman, is something that is important to push against. And as you mentioned, women in Kerala have been doing that for many, many decades until they got this victory at the Supreme Court level in India just last September. And I think it's also important to recognize that this is related to some of the beliefs that you see when you look at casteism in Hinduism and how Dalit communities have been treated as well. So this idea of impurity or cleanliness and who is clean and when and where, who should be isolated, who should be allowed into a religious space, who should be excluded, are all traditions and beliefs that I think that we should be pushing against and following the lead of the women in Kerala.
So I understand it was women lawyers who actually legally challenged this in the first place in the case that went all the way up to the Supreme Court?
Women have been trying to gain entry into Sabarimala for some time, and women lawyers noticed that this was happening and filed a lawsuit on their behalf. It went to the Indian Supreme Court, which declared that the Shabrimala temple had to open its gates to women of all ages, and that was back in September of 2018. So since then, women have been trying to gain entry, but have found that they are blocked from entry, that they are often harassed, that they are not let in. And so that is why you saw this tremendous act of resistance and collective resistance, really, that happened on New Year's Day, where 5.5 million women formed a human chain across 385 miles of the state of Kerala.
5.5 million women. That's like, I mean, I can't even wrap my head around that. That's incredible.
It's so hard to fathom, which is why I think, you know, I would encourage people to actually look up some video clips of that, because when you see it, and how women are locking arms, how women of different faiths have come together. So Kerala is a multi-faith state. And when I grew up there, you know, I had friends who were Christian and who were Hindu and who were Muslim. That's one of the aspects of the state that I still hold dear, that meant a lot to me as I grew up. But you can see in these videos how women of all different backgrounds, class backgrounds and faith backgrounds came together to send this message. And it is a resistance that I don't think we're hearing about enough in this country, and that we need to pay attention to, because it has so many ramifications across various movements.
What was the fundamentalist backlash to the Supreme Court decision? We have seen not just men protesting and members of the Hindu fundamentalist ruling party, the BJP, protesting, but also masses of women protesting the lifting of the ban, which, you know, doesn't seem to make much sense.
Well, I think that when it comes to patriarchy, you will find, as you know, not just men participating in preserving it, but also women participating in preserving it. I mean, we saw that here in this country with even the Kavanaugh hearings at some level. So to me, what I think is important for us to keep in mind is that, of course, there will be backlash and pushback, but the women in Kerala who are defying this ban, who stood in resistance, and who are even going into the temple now. So two women in particular, Bindu Amini and Kanaka Durga, entered the temple days after New Year's, the New Year's Day protest, and were able to go inside. And after they went inside and prayed and left, the priest immediately shut the temple down because he claimed that it had to be, quote, repurified, which again goes back to those themes of how women are seen in religious spaces such as this. And the government in Kerala, as you said, is a government that actually is trying to protect the rights of these women. But the BJP and other Hindu fundamentalist organizations called for strikes, called for a shutdown, and there has been violence on the streets. There have been shutdowns. And I think that's why I think it's important to place this not just in the context of women's equality and economic and reproductive justice and even the Me Too movement in India. I think all of those are connected. But we also have to look at it as a challenge to Hindu Brahmanical patriarchy and to Hindu fundamentalist political spaces and political viewpoints that are infusing some of these religious traditions as well.
How has the ruling fundamentalist Hindu party, the BJP, been, in a way, making political hay of this particular controversy? One might imagine that the Supreme Court decision was a blow to the party, but the backlash has been so swift that actually it seems as though the BJP is benefiting off of it.
Right. So newspaper reports in India do claim that the BJP and other Hindu fundamentalist parties have called for this sort of backlash in response to the New Year's Day protest, and that they are in many ways saying that this is about preserving Hindu tradition. Right. But the question really is, what about women's rights?
And by the way, they're also holding signs saying save Sabarimala, as if somehow the act of letting women enter is going to destroy the temple.
Right. Yes. I mean, it is the sense that the sanctity of this religious space is going to, you know, the traditions are all going to be destroyed just because women are allowed in. And I think that So while there is backlash, it's not surprising that there is. I think that we also have to look at what this collective spirit of resistance shows and how it's bridging so many movements. I've been thinking about the fact that we have a women's march coming up in this country, right, very soon in this month. And I think it's really important that women in this country, in the United States, learn from what is happening in a state like Kerala, learn from that resistance. And I think that Hindus and Indian Americans and South Asian Americans in the United States can also use these lessons that we learn to push against some of the patriarchal traditions that exist in this country when it comes to Hinduism or Hindu temples or Hindu organizations.
And by the way, as you and I are speaking, there also happens to be a massive nationwide two-day trade union strike across India. Kerala is one of the major flashpoints of that strike. There's been a 48-hour long nationwide strike, and it's really interesting because there's a lot of context to both these stories, what I just mentioned, and the women's pushback to what's happening at the temple. There's a lot of context there in the state of Kerala, isn't there? It is one of, I understand, the most literate states in India, and also a center of communist history in India and the history of communist government in India, right?
Absolutely. It is, yes. And, you know, as I mentioned earlier, multi-faith, a very literate state, so to speak, and communist traditions and communist history is something that I remember growing up with. It wasn't really, it was just an afterthought, right? Mm-hmm. And the what you're seeing now with the union strike, as well as with the human chain of women, I think will all play into the national elections that are coming up as well in a few months. But it's not just about India. It's something that is happening globally, where women are resisting and women are calling for their rightful place in every single sector and every single institution of society, and really challenging the patriarchal traditions that underlie many of these institutions and how they treat women.
Do you see the links between the fight over the temple in Kerala and the sort of explosion of Me Too related news stories that broke near the second half of last year, particularly in the sort of film industry and Bollywood? You had huge revelations that reverberated throughout the country, and they even spread to sort of the era of journalism, the industry of journalism, and also even a major politician resigning because of revelations about sexual misconduct and assault.
Right, absolutely. No, I think that the Me Too movement in India is burgeoning, and there are really bold and courageous women who are speaking up against some of the sexual harassment that they have been facing for so many years and decades in these institutions. I do think it's connected. I think it's, again, about women staking their claim, raising their voices, and really being clear that they're not going to put up with these sorts of patriarchal traditions, whether it's in the context of a religious space or workplace harassment and sexism in a workplace or an industry. And I think we can learn a lot from how Indian women are really speaking up and staking their claims across the world, and of course here in the United States.
Going back to the temple controversy, the two women that you had cited earlier that have defied the pressure against entering the temple, who entered and worshipped there, I understand that they're in hiding right now, that they aren't able to return to their homes?
That's right. They have been, according to newspaper reports, they've been basically going from safe house to safe house because their lives are in jeopardy and they haven't been able to return to their families. And they're very courageous women, who are doing this. They're risking their lives, so to speak, in order to to raise attention and continue to raise attention to a right that they have, you know, according to the Supreme Court, to be able to enter this temple and pray.
Do you think that this decision and also the awareness that it's raising can have repercussions in other parts of India where there are still, I mean, this isn't the only temple where such things take place. There are still bans on women being able to enter temple during their period.
Right. Right. I think so. You know, I'm not entirely sure what the struggles are or the fights are in other parts of India.
And one wonders how those things are enforced, by the way, right?
No. Well, sometimes I think they're self-imposed or self-enforced, right? Through family, where people are telling, you know, women that they shouldn't go. And I think that that happens more often than not. But yeah, I absolutely think that it will have a ripple effect on movements in other parts of the country. And I also hope, and I wrote this in my piece, I hope it does that here in the United States as well, because I think that this is an opportunity for people who consider themselves Hindu or who are Indian American or South Asian American to really look at their own religious institutions, right? And to ask, are you going to be standing in solidarity with these women in Sabarimala? Are you going to address what is happening there? What are your edicts? What are your policies around women, as you mentioned, Sonali, entering a religious space such as a temple while they're on their periods? I think it's really an opportunity for us to make some interventions. And I know that there are organizations and individuals and community members who are doing that with their own temples in their local areas. And I also think we should be looking at organizations that purport to speak for Hindus around the world and in the United States to see where they stand on these issues, because this is an opportunity, again, to challenge Hindu Brahminical patriarchy. It is an opportunity to stand in solidarity with the women in India. And it's an opportunity to make some changes when it comes to institutions here in the United States, whether they're religious spaces or organizations.
Well, Deepa, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Again, your piece is entitled "The Women's Resistance We Aren't Hearing About Is Happening Now in Kerala." We link to that from our website. And you mentioned that the Women's March is happening, of course, later this month here in the United States. Are there marches happening in India in conjunction with this? Because the whole Women's March phenomenon from 2 years ago was a global phenomenon. I don't know if Indian women are taking the lead of women here in the West or doing their own thing.
I think that they probably will do their own thing. And I'm sure, as it has been around the world, that what has happened in Kerala is something that is inspiring a lot of women in India as well. So hopefully we will see more of that resistance happening, not just, with the women's marches, but in other parts of the country and the world on other events as well.
And I should just ask you whether you have any idea of what will happen with the temple. The legal fight is over, but the cultural fight, it seems, continues. Are there any more actions like the one with the 5.5 million women forming a human chain? Are there any such actions coming up? Will women, just through sheer force of their collective will, keep entering the temple?
So what I'm aware of is that women are trying to enter the temple, that's what's happening. So there have been some other women beyond the ones that I mentioned on your show who have attempted to enter and have entered. And I think that it looks like that might continue to happen. But in terms of, whether there will be mass protests and mass resistance like this, I'm not entirely sure. But it seems like the momentum is there. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see other events of resistance like this in the state, and perhaps, as you mentioned, in other parts of India as well.
Thank you again, Deepa, for joining us, and good luck to you.
Thank you so much, Sonali.
Deepa Iyer is a South Asian American activist. She works and writes on issues of race, immigration, and more. Her book is called We Too Sing America. She's the host of a monthly podcast called Solidarity Is This. And she recently wrote the piece entitled "The Women's Resistance We Aren't Hearing About Is Happening Now in Kerala." We'll link to that piece from our website later today. We've been discussing the women-led protest against this ban being overturned at a temple people in Kerala. I'm Sonali Kulhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.